Wow, I tell you what, it just must be me, because it just soaked into me, man. It just, the more I listen to it, change our church, you know, heal those streets, work within us. We've got to be that help for those out there in the lost world, amen, because we're in His kingdom. We're part of that kingdom set upon this earth to do a purpose and a plan that God has, you know. God's plan is not to fail. God's plan is not to, you know, the doom and gloom type thing, you know. Yeah, the Lord's coming back, you know, and He's got big, big plans when the Lord comes back that second time. But I want to be found faithful in working this place that He's placed us at today, because today is what matters to me. Because it's today is what I see. And so when I got into that, and I guess today I'm going to say, folks, you need to change the atmosphere you're in. If things aren't going right, you better change that atmosphere. You better call upon the God of creation. Why is that? You know, we, in the beginning, and I'm going to bounce around here now because I'm already starting to go here. And where are we going, Lord? But we already know in the very, very, very beginning, God changed the atmosphere of creation, because in Genesis 1, if I look in 2, He says here, the earth was out form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. How many here today are going through something in your life that you feel it's without form? There's nothing to it. I can't make things out of it. I don't understand what's happening. I can't even see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, because it's so muddled. I can't tell. Because I'm in what? Possibly you're in that darkness, that void. God will bring you out of that void. God will bring you out of that darkness, because it says here in the very beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And here's where God steps up, and this is where things changed from the very beginning, from to where we're at today. And it's also going to take that and change your circumstance today, or your atmosphere today, when God said, let there be light. And the light came on. It wasn't like God saying, I wonder if we need light. I wonder if the light will work. I wonder how bright it needs to be. Because the light doesn't need to be very bright when you're in darkness, but it's good because His light is bright. And so His light is going to be bright no matter what happens. Hallelujah. And I began to see that there, and that's where I started looking at it, saying, Lord, You changed the atmosphere there. You brought life into that area. You brought substance into that area. You brought a vitality in that area, all by Your speaking of that word of, let there be light. God didn't have to fight about it. He didn't have to conjure up anything. He didn't have to deal with anything. He just spoke it. That's the God I serve today. And that's the God that He says, speak My words, and they will not return void to Me. We are walking upon this earth with an untapped power of understanding and resiliency and the ability to change atmospheres, to change circumstances, to change what's happening in the here and now to a great now and now. I want a great now and now, not in the sweet by and by. I'll enjoy it when I get there. Let Him get my bed ready. Let Him have my mansion ready. But Lord, I want to stay here as long as You will let me. And I want to fight for You. And I want to glorify You. And I want to see things happen here by the power of You, Lord, working through little old people like me. And You, and You, and You, and You, and You. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for life in you. He's put it in you. You just got to tap into it, man. We all have His DNA somehow in us. The vilest sinner out there has God's DNA, and I've said this before. Why is that? Because He says we were created in His image. So we got a part of Him in us, and that's why when He talks about the Spirit will woo them, we share the Word of God, we testify, we give our glories of what God has done in our life, and it gets people excited. But all we're trying to do is just kind of maybe jumpstart that switch that God has in them so they want to turn it on. And if they don't turn it on, I know that my God, if He's wanting something out of that person, He's going to flip that switch somehow, some way, by the Holy Spirit's moving, by the wooing of the Spirit into that person's life. And all of a sudden, that guy's going to be so far, or that gal's going to be so far from Him that they're going to have that switch come on. And it could come on real bright. Could be like a little dimmer switch maybe God's got in there. He just says, okay, I'm just going to activate your spirit a little bit. Now it's got a little bit of power of God flowing in you. Now your spirit man is saying, wow, I like this. I want more of you in my life, God. And pretty soon that goes on, but that's not my message today. There comes a time when we get to that point that we may feel that our backs are against the wall. There's nothing else that we can do in that situation. Anybody been there? If not, you're lying. Altars are open 24/7. We may get to that place of losing hope or a favorable outcome. I've been there. We are just about to toss in the rag. When all of a sudden something comes over us and we decide to make a stand, something within us, deep within us, starts swelling up and welling up. And that's, for those of us in Christ, it's that power, that dunamis power within you. You get to that point and you say, enough is enough. I've tried it on my energies. I've tried it on my talent. I've tried it on my knowledge, and it ain't working so good, guys. I'm going to come over here to God's side. And then I'm going to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this situation. And I begin to allow God to begin to flow into me and flow out of me. Let him flow in and let him flow out to get the full effects. Amen? When all of a sudden something comes over us, we decide to make a stand. We make up our mind that we will no longer take what is being dished out to us. You've got to get aggravated and mad sometimes at the things and the circumstances of life. You've got to understand that you are not put upon this earth to suffer and to be moaning and complaining and have problems. You are here and set for a purpose. In Jeremiah, it talks about that I have a plan and a purpose for your life. And that's what fired me up to serve him even in a greater measure. Not to be a failure, he says, in paraphrasing some of those things, but he says, I have a plan and a purpose for you to be a success. Yeah. To be something more than what you are now, and it's going to be something even more glorified than what you are now, because it's going to be something that I have set aside for you. Like we've been looking at in this vine dresser thing about the fruit of the vine, about God has put this out there, and he says, I've got a task for this guy to do, and Tim, you're going to be that guy. If you follow me and obey me and be obedient to me, you will accomplish and meet that need that I have placed out there as that whatever it is. I just got to say, let me go, Lord. Let me help you. Let's go. Let's go for it. So we get to that point to where we can no longer take it, and it's tired of it, and we're just saying, enough is enough. Has anybody been there where you said, enough is enough? Lord, I'm tired of dealing in this situation. I'm tired of this happening in my family. I'm tired of this thing happening or that thing happening, whatever the case might be. And you get to that point and you say, you know what? I'm turning it over to you, Lord, and I want you to do your thing with it. And help me understand what you want me to do, and I just turn it over to you. And I rest in you. A lot of that, once we get into that level, is resting in him. When you call him on the scene of the problem, don't stand toe-to-toe with him and say, okay, God, I got your back. You got mine? God's going to say, I don't need you to have my back. He's going to say, you just go sit down and you just be at peace, Tim. And you know what you can do, Tim? While you're sitting down, if you want to jump up now and then, you might want to say, hallelujah, Lord. You might want to say, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, that's all you need to do. You don't need to have my back and fight for me. He says, you just praise and worship me, and your way will be made. We think we got to fight it. We think, I can do it. I'm a man. My daddy said, men don't cry. No, we all cry. If you're human, you better cry, Tears of joy, tears of sadness, you name it. It's all built in there that God put within our emotions. But we just need to say, okay, God, this is yours. Because God's word says the battle is mine. Now, we think that was back in those days, and true, it was. But I think the same thing that's happening in my day, it's like, God, I appreciate reading the Old Testament and all those things, and it's not a history book. It's action. It's an action book. It's a thriller. It's like, I see so much of what you did back then, but I'm living now. And God says, I'm the same God now that I was back then. And those times that I was fighting for my children of Israel and different ones that were serving me, he says, Tim, I'm going to fight for you as well. Or Dawn, or Wayne, or Julie, any one of us. He says, I'm going to fight for you too if you just let me. Just unleash me. Just say, turn it over to him. Amen. So we've got to do that. It's not at that point that we need to change the situation, for there seems to be no hope of a different outcome. For it to be better, we realize that we need to take authority over the issue. Amen. You got to take authority over the issue, over the situation. That's that God-given ability that God said, take dominion. You know, he gave us that, gave that back to Adam in the garden. Here, you tend to this garden. This is your job, you know. And that was a good job. It was a fun job, you know, until all these things happened. But we, at this point in time, that's old news. Now that's happened. We're not going to change that. We're in the here and now. But God is changing the here and now. So as I look at this, for it to get better, we realize we need to take authority over the issues or the situations to see a change that needs to come about. And I've already shared about this week listening to this Build Your Kingdom here. We just listened to it. There's a lot of powerful statements and declarations in there. If you were to write them all down, man. Church, people, prayer, the streets, community, blah, 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 everything. But the one thing that kept hitting me is to have a change in a lot of the areas, and especially for our nation and where we're at as a people, is we need our atmosphere to be changed. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of just a lot of sludge and garbage out there, just in our society as a whole, that just keeps being multiplied, it seems like. And if it's not being multiplied, it's just certain operatives of media that want to portray it as like, that's the way life is now. And really, it's not the way life is, because a lot of it is just what they're wanting to put that focus on, but it makes all the other world or the rest of the people think that's what's happening, and that's the way we are, and oh well, I guess we're a defeated nation. No, we're not a defeated nation. We can call it back. And that's what we've got to do. My prayer is to change the atmosphere of the United States of America. Change the atmosphere around the world, Lord. But I'm saying what? You know, I'm not in, you know, England. I'm not in Asia. I'm not in Africa. You know where Tim lives? I live in Wisconsin, which is in the part of the United States of America. And that's where I want to take the dominion of the influence that I can have. Now, I can't go up and knock on the governor's door and the president's door and the secretary of state and all these and say, I want to have a visitation with you and pray for you. I can't do that, but you know what I can do? I can do that by that of the Spirit and pray for them in my little old home in Janesville or this little old church in Janesville. I can lift up my nation, my leadership, my whoever in authority and have that atmosphere around them changed. I'm going to tell you what, Lord, if it's not your atmosphere around them, Lord, let it be your atmosphere. Change it, I ask now in Jesus' name. Whatever it takes, Lord, begin to just change that air. Hallelujah. You know, we get into the point of where when hurricanes and tornadoes and things like that come, yeah, it's bad. They do devastation and things like that. But there's always a good and bad, you know. Ever had somebody come up and tell you and say, Lou, I got some good news and bad news. What do you want first? Bad news is that tears up everything and things are destroyed and sometimes life is taken. Very sad. It's not what we want. The other side of that, though, is when you have like those type of elements within the natural things of happening, it changes the air of the area. There's like a turnover of the air, of oxygen and all that. It's kind of a crazy thing, but it happens. It's got to happen. We got, you know, gale force winds blowing, you know, like 120 mile an hour. Something's got to be moving out. Not just the siding on your house and the shingles on your roof. You know, they're just things in nature and just the overall oxygen and freshness in the air, it's being pushed out. Tornadoes, sucking that air up and just moving. So there's those things here, but even those things, they're changing the atmosphere in the natural. Well, I'm talking about changing the atmosphere in the spiritual. Right. And, you know, because the battle is not in the flesh, amen. Okay. The battle is in the spiritual side of things. You know, as much as I want to pray for, you know, for sure the salvation of those in our leadership and people of high importance, first of all, Lord, that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I can just pray two simple prayers, Lord, let them be saved by the grace and mercy that you have through that of Jesus Christ that died for their sins as mine, and let them be filled with your Holy Spirit. After that, it's on autopilot, man, because the Lord in His Spirit begins to speak into their spirit. You know why I know that? because he speaks into my spirit that same way. How about you?
Right. Absolutely.
You know, once we get to that level of receiving, once we get in that level of asking, and once we get that filling, the infilling, the rest of it for us is just to keep that person in prayer and encouragement and just say, Lord, continue to work in their lives. Continue to show them the wonderful blessings, the wonderful things of you. Let me be an encourager. Let me pray for them, you know, as an intercessory, whatever needs to be at a time. But I just know that that's what's going to happen with my nation, that I can just pray and turn it over to God and allow the Spirit. That's why we call for revival. That's why we say, Lord, let there be a freshness of your Spirit, of your anointing to go across this land, because he does the work. The church has a work to do about ushering it in, but once it starts hitting, it's just him going with it, man. And it's by the faithful prayers of churches and leaders and people and individuals and prayer groups and all this that, you know, he just begins to unleash that, and we have that blowing of that wind. There's a sweet wind a blowing all across this land. Could be that of fire, you know. We got the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn up things, you know, or ignite these things. So I want to take, again, talk about your atmosphere and where you're at, because my heart is for you. My heart is for what this church is all about. If we can just manage where God has us and do our best at where he has us, the ripple effect will take a part of that. Let God find Little Harvesters Church, be faithful in what he has called us to do, continuing to grow and mature and be perfected in him, and be honoring to him and not desiring to say, well, we've got to have X number of people, we've got to have so much income, we've got to have so much of this outside to make it look like a big church building and all this to make us look like we are really doing good. We need to be really doing good in here. My heart is, if I can get you guys really doing good in here, this is where the church is at. And the Lord will take care of the rest. Hallelujah. Now, if we look at the atmosphere, and I don't want to get into, you know, the global warming, but, you know, you look up atmosphere, first thing comes up, the gaseous envelope of the celestial body, or that's something that's around the planet. You know, we look at that. That's the atmosphere out there. You get a little bit deeper into the description of that, and I like this. The atmosphere, a surrounding influence, our environment, or a set of conditions. Anybody got a set of conditions you're dealing with right now? That's your atmosphere. Environment, that's your atmosphere. You got influences around you, good or bad, especially if they're bad. Those are bad influences. That's a bad atmosphere to be in. Get out of it, man. And then the last thing it said, the pervading tone or mood of a place or a situation. I'm ready to change the tone or the mood of my nation. I'm ready to say, Lord, it's for you. I want you, Lord, to get the glory and the honor. I want this nation to rise up and to be the nation that it was called to be. Now, we realize, you talk to guys, now when the revelation and all that comes and things happen, you know, America is not mentioned in it. So I don't understand all that thing of revelation. All I know is it's good. Why do I know it's good? Because I'm going to be a child of God. And he'll be with me. I don't care how he wants to deal with it, pre-trib, post-trib, in-trib, out-of-trib. I just want to be there. I don't want to miss it. I might even be called home before he comes back. Many of you here today may very well just be called home to your heavenly home before Christ returns. But then, that's okay, because from what I read too, you're going to come back with him. He'll send you back. You know, we think we're going to get out of here and it's going to be like, you know, Shangri-La. It's like, hey, serve my time. I've been down there. I'm staying up here. You guys go deal with that. Oh, he's looking for an army. You know, we're going to come back and we're going to be powered up, man. So anyway, I don't understand all that. I don't profess to understand all that. I just know it's going to happen. I always tell people, I go, well, the things that happened in the Old Testament happened. New Testament talks a lot about that. And then things that happened in the New Testament happened. And then Revelation tells about what's going to happen after that, so I'm sure it's coming down the pike. I'm just not going to be worried about when. I want to be found faithful doing what he wants me to do now. Let everything else come into being as how he wants it. He's planned it out anyway. We've said this before. If Jesus didn't even know any of that, he says, I know not the hour or the day. I mean, this is God in flesh, you know, and he's serving the people, and they wanted to find out. You know, they figured, hey, you're the Son of God. You must have an insight. You know the big guy, Lou. What's he saying, you know? It's like, I don't know. It's a mystery to me as well, but it's going to come at his time. So that's down the road. Don't get fixated on all of that. Look at the atmosphere that you're in right now and deal with it. That influence, the environment, the conditions that are around you, the pervading tone or mood or the place that you're in. I want to clue you on something, though. You may be able to handle changing some areas, and we do change some areas of our life. You know, it's pretty easy to change an area of your life. If you can, it's the most simplest things to change, you're going to do it. God's not going to have to come and help you do that, you know. But some areas of our atmospheres can only be changed by going into a time of what would be kind of like what we had here in our church circles of a spiritual battle. And for this, you need to call all of heaven down to affect that outcome. Now, I'm not one to spend a lot of time fighting or battling the devil. I just refuse to do it. You know why? Because I want to find more of my time praising and worshiping my God. So if I find my time praising and worshiping my God, remember that time when I said, hey, God, I'll have your back? And he says, I don't need you to have my back. You just sit back and just worship and praise me. I'll take care of everything else. See, I can be back there just, well, hallelujah, Lord, you're doing awesome. Praise God, you know? And all kinds of hell could be coming up around me. I don't even know it. Because the spiritual battle, those things that God is striking it down before it even maybe gets into my sphere of my atmosphere, my sphere, whatever, where I'm at. I don't know. How many here knows how many times the Lord has done something battling in the spiritual realm for you and you don't even know it? We don't know it. And we don't need to know it. All that I do know is that I know my God is good and he cares for me. And all I have to do is just say, Lord, I just want to focus and fixate my attention on you and the good of you and not on the devil and all the devil's doing. Forget, he's going to do all this stuff and we know all about that, but I don't want to entertain him for a day. But there are those times, but I'm going to call down heaven into those situations that are maybe a spiritual battle, but then I'm going to call down whatever the Lord wants to send down to help me, and I'm just turning it over to him, and I'm going to say, have your way, Lord. You know, you might have to tell the enemy, I'm putting you on warning. I've got some big people coming down to visit you. Now, you can leave now, be like some of like those John Wayne Westerns or something like that, you know. Well, partner, you know, I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can leave town now and have, you know, your horse, or you can stick around and I'm going to shoot your horse, you know. You might tell the devil, I got some help coming, you just might want to be aware of that, and I'm not going to talk to you anymore after this, I'm going to close the door, and my God's going to take care of the rest. I go over here to this side, and I'm going, hallelujah, Lord, thank you, God, what an awesome day, what a beautiful sunrise, what a beautiful sunset, what a beautiful cloud, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'm looking at your beauty here with all the frustrations going on. It's what you focus on is what gets your attention. We've already talked about Genesis 1:2. Now, we look at some of the areas that, and the two that struck out to me and we can look at is Matthew 8. We all know the story, but we want you to turn there so you can just read the Word of God and just see God's Word. Even though we read it over and over again, isn't it great just to open up the Bible and just look at it again? And I know I read it and I go, oh, I've read that before, Lord. But it's those times that we read it again and it just kind of ministers into us. So 8:23, and it says here, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest rose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. He must have been pretty tired, because it said suddenly a great tempest arose, and he's already asleep. Jesus is like, hey, I'm tired. I'm going down to take a nap. Then his disciples in 25 come, and they say, awaking him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Any time of our lives, there's many times, sometimes, I don't know, it's all of us are different, but there's times that we feel, maybe that we feel like we're perishing. We got so much on us. We're digging out of so much stuff that it just seems like I'm perishing in all this stuff. It's smothering me. It just seems like all this stuff just keeps getting pushed down on me and pushed down on me, Lord. And I don't know what to do. Well, as they were kind of like in that same situation there, you know, he's sleeping. And even in our times, if I look at this, even when I'm going through situations, my Lord is with me. How about you? God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. If he's never going to leave me, that means he's going to be with me. And so even though I'm going through the tumultuous times of waves and things, and I'm going, and my boat in my life is a little going like this, or I just feel like, you know, circumstances just coming down on me, he's still there with me. And my understanding and where he's at in my life and my maturity and growth with him, and I understand who he is, that I know that things will get better. And it might be just for whatever season I'm going to go through that time. You know, we are going through this, talking about the vine dresser and all that. It could be, sometimes we're thinking of those things happening. We think maybe it's some evil things coming upon us. And it might be just him pruning us to kind of get us into a better relationship with him, to have more vitality, more fruit, more good works, or whatever it is that he's working in us. And sometimes that's what might be rocking your boat, is just, he's saying, it's me, don't worry. I'm the one that you think you're going, oh, it's all just disarrayed here. And it's really, if your relationship is close with God, it's just those things you begin to sense and you kind of walk things out. But anyway, we got to get back into this story, because what happens here is what's really awesome. They cry out, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Now, the great tempest, the sea's rough, and it is kind of dangerous out there. And I think it's like, I don't know, some parts of that is like 150 feet deep, and it's located in between these hills and all this stuff and the wind. But then Jesus in 26, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful, Tim? Oh, Lord, come and help me. I'm going through this battle. I don't know. Oh, Lord, help me. This is coming upon me, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. This is required of me. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish it. This has got to be done. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. Oh, Lord, help me. And I can hear the Lord ask with Tim, why are you fearful? I'm with you. I'm taking a nap. I got, you know, I don't need to be awake with you all the time and, you know, watching everything you're doing, maybe. I don't know. Of course, he never slumbers or sleeps too, God. You know, you find that out too. So you got to kind of just, that was just me talking. Why are you fearful, O one of little faith? And then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea. And what happened? Calmness showed back up. Okay, that was in a natural state of change in an atmosphere thing that was going on. But I think we can look at some of these instances of the natural, of how Jesus spoke to these things and calmness came in, and we can see other aspects of things when we deal spiritually with battles and things, that we need to have that understanding that I know who's in me and I know he's not left me and I'm going to come through this. Rather than crying out, oh, Lord, help me, I'm going through this battle and I don't know what to do. Oh, Lord, help me. Maybe I just need to go, hello, Lord. Lord, I love you. Thank you and praise you for all that you've done in my life. But, Lord, I just don't understand what's taking place right now. It just seems to be something that's not right, you know. You know, it's a battle of this or that, or I need focus, I need direction, I need this, I need that. And as I come to him in those situations, and then you kind of stop talking, maybe meditate and just allow him to share some things in the spirit with you. I don't know. It's so many different aspects that we can look at when we're going through a situation. But the one thing that I know that I want to get across to you today is that situation can change. by speaking the word and by calling upon him that is all in all and sovereign, and knowing that no matter what the roughness of life that you're going into, pray and speak peace into it. And let it come by that of the way of Christ. And he says that here. He arose, he rebuked the winds, the atmosphere in the natural taking place there changed like that, and a calmness happened. And not just calmness, my Bible says great calm. A great calm. Now, I don't know, it's not in my Bible, and you'd have to, I'm just thinking these things in my little head here. But I just wonder, you know, as the waves are tossing and the things are happening and all this is sloshing and there's ripples here and ripples there. I, in my thoughts, and probably when he spoke, peace, be still, or what did he say here? Let's get the right thing here. And when he said, he arose and he rebuked the winds. I don't know what that all rebuked was about, do you? I didn't dig into that. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The instant that he rebuked, boom! I sense and see everything just being calm. It didn't say it slowed a little bit. And little by little, it got a little calmer. And oh, as they went another, 30 minutes, it got a little bit more at peace. No. To me, it says instantly when he rebuked, a great calm came upon that place. It was like a light switch turned on, turned off. Everything's at peace, everything's calm. Note the disciples did not start out in a storm. It talks about they got into the boat, they followed, and suddenly a great tempest arose. So it wasn't like they were stupid and it's like storming and they got in the boat and say, you know, because these guys are experienced fishermen, they know all about the seas and boating, so they would not go into a tempest, right from the start. So we find out by that they didn't start out in a storm. They weren't foolish. They were caught without warning and the danger was great. Being seasoned sailors, they understood the extreme danger that they were in. And they didn't know it was that Jesus could control the forces of nature, the atmosphere of their situation. They didn't know that Jesus could control that. Now, they've been around him. They just saw at times the feeding of the 5,000, the miraculous things that he did. They saw all these things that he did. But they didn't quite know all of him. Do you know all of Jesus? You know, do we need to get more knowledge of him? Well, you do that through the word. You do that through all those teachings. You do that by your prayer. You do that by meditating. You just say, oh, become a sponge and soak in the things that he has to understand, because you're going to need them sometime in your life. I don't know when and where, but I'm going to tell you, if you live long enough, you're going to have adversity. You're going to have problems. The word even tells us that even though you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, trials and temptations will come. But it's not that's the time you throw in the towel. That's the time that you get stronger. Because I know who I am in Christ. And I know what Christ means to me. And I know that the outcome is going to be for His glory, not my glory. Hallelujah. What storms are you experiencing in your life today? I want you to know that Jesus can calm that storm that you're in. The power that he has, just like that in Matthew, is the same power today. My, it's not like he's gotten old and feeble and, I'm getting old and weaker. How about you, In the physical, there's just some things you just can't do when you get certain ages, Like to get up and got and went, And it's like your muscle is like this and now it's like that, It's like, where did that thing go? You look in the mirror and you're shaving, you're going, oh my, where did this guy come from? When did he move into my house? So in the natural, we're changing all that, but oh, hallelujah, Jesus doesn't. He doesn't change the power, the strength. All that was exhibited there is here today for us. Oh. Although the disciples lived with Jesus, they underestimated him to say the least. I think a lot of times today we do the same. Amen. We underestimate what can be done in our lives and our situations. Because we've been told a lie. We've been told a story. We've been told something, and somehow that resonates with us. But we underestimate the power that Jesus has to take care of us. So what may happen if we take our focus off of Jesus and we begin to look too much of our situations and circumstances that are taking place? Well, quickly here, we can jump into Matthew 14. Matthew 14, that'll tell you what you got to do, guys. Tell you what, you better keep your eyes on him. We know the story. Jesus walking on the water, okay? So 14:22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now he's talking about it. You can go on through the story, but for the sake of time, getting down to it, here we go again. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out walking on the water, and when the disciples saw him walking, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer," verse 27, "be of good cheer." Anybody here can be of good cheer when you're afraid? Man, Jesus is telling you, man, you're going through a hard time, you better be in cheer. Don't be whining and crying and bemoaning, "Oh, I'm failed, oh, there's no way, oh." You need to be in cheer. Hallelujah! It's going to change, I just know it, you know. "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Well, Jesus said, "Okay, come." Come, you know. You know what? It's one of those things. I want to caution you to say, be careful what you ask. Because he'll say, "Okay, come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he had saw that the wind was what? Boisterous. Well, wind. Here's that wind again. That natural atmosphere, the natural things happening at that particular time to kind of show the power of what Jesus could do and was about. He uses the natural. Why is that? It's so that we can see with that, our natural eyes. And so we can visually see, wow, that was tempest, that was boisterous, that was loud. Oh, the wind, oh, did you see that? Could you imagine those disciples when they got back on dry ground and had a story to tell around the campfire? Woo-hoo. "Come," he says to Peter. So Peter gets out of the boat, he walks on the water, and then you know the story. But then he began to sink. He began to look around at the things around him. He began to look at, he's walking to Jesus. But then he sees in these big waves, and all of a sudden he's going, "Oh my gosh, oh my God, look at these waves. What am I doing out here? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Help me, save me, Jesus." Grabbed him by the hand, pulled him up. "Oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Verse 32. Then, of course, those in the boat were saying, "Wow, truly you are the Son of God." They saw with their eyes something totally they didn't understand, but they began to realize, "You, truly you are the Son of God?" Even after feeding the 5,000 and all this other stuff. What don't these guys get? You know, but we're just like that. Don't be looking at them saying, "Well, that would have been a whole lot different." You would not. You are the same today, because we see miraculous things that has done in Jesus and testimonies and things, and then when something happens and we go through a turmoil or atmospheric things happening in our spiritual times, we go, "Oh, where are you, Jesus? Oh, I don't know if you can handle that. Oh, I don't know, this might be too big for you. So we are the same. But it's fun to look back at those guys and make fun of them. But when they got back in the boat, the wind ceased. And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. And it didn't even say in my Bible, it doesn't say that Jesus rebuked anything, did it? There was a boisterous wind. That wind was afraid, beginning to sink, and crying out. He reached out his hand. He stretches out his hand to meet you today as well, and all those out there that are away from him, and they need him. He's still stretching out his hand to the lost. Let me take you out of that sinking mire that you're in, that water, whatever it is, that sin in your life. Let me take you out of that, Jesus would be saying. But when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. It just kind of gives me a clue that, I tell you what, there's a lot going on with Jesus. You know, that he can just do things and things happen. He doesn't necessarily need to speak them. So I don't know how it all works. I don't know if it's just by knowing who he was. He just stepped in, and it was for a story. It was for a lesson. I don't know. It was a time to be teaching the disciples about something, about who he was. I didn't dig into that. But it's just interesting to watch and some of these things that takes place when Jesus is with his disciples. And no matter how many miracles they've seen, he always pulls another one out and they go, wow, he must really be the Son of God. It's like, duh, didn't you say that like five miracles ago? Well, you know, how short we have a memory. Well, God has done tremendous things in your life. Don't forget them. When something happens and he comes again and saves the day, don't go, ooh, wow, this really works. You are the Son of God. No. Just say, thank you, Lord, for coming. Hallelujah. Wow, we are just going here. Oh, boy. Now, quickly, we find that one disciple, Peter, willing to get out of the boat. He wasn't testing Jesus. He had the faith to get out. He just said, come. If you ask me to come, I'll come. Come. Steps out, starts walking. Steps out of the comfort of the solidness of the boat, the structure around him. He was willing to step out into that unknown. He was willing to step out into the things that really are not of solidness that you're on. Sometimes in our life, we might need to. God might say, come. You know, here again, getting back to that pruning thing. We get to that level saying, Lord, ask me to do some more for you. I want to grow closer to you. Lord say, okay, Tim, come this way. Oh, okay. Okay. What did I just get myself into? Because then some things might start raging. Some things might come up. I don't know. But we ask him, Lord, we just want to serve and do more for you. We want to be just like, kind of like Peter. I just want to come towards you, Lord. So anyway, we find that he steps out of the comfort of the boat security to walk on the water, and he sinks. And we know the stories have been told. And we've heard of this before. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He looks at the waves, the situations around him. That's what happens to us in our daily life when we got things happening around us. We are strong for him. And then all of a sudden, roughness, disarray comes. Things happen in our realm of atmosphere where we're at. And things just begin to shake on us. And we start looking over here like, oh my gosh, I got to take care of that. Oh wait, this is happening over here. I got to take care of that. Pretty soon we take off our eyes off of the source that can take care of all of it by merely just getting into the boat with us. Just come in, Lord. Step in my boat. And once you do that, all of a sudden, this is taken care of. That's taken care of. It's like, wow. We easily take our eyes off of Jesus just like Peter does. For us today, if we pay too much attention on the atmosphere we're in, we too can begin to sink in despair. We need to maintain our faith and keep our focus on Jesus and his power and abilities to change the atmosphere around us. As we read in the scriptures, all this time that Jesus did the miraculous, we need to believe that same for our life situations. I read these things. Do you read these things? And do you file them away? And do you just pull them out when you're going through a time of a trial or something? It's the best thing to have. It's the best vitamin to take daily. Something happens. Oh, Lord, this reminds me of this situation. Something develops. Oh, Lord, this brings back a memory of what you did back then. We often face spiritual and emotional storms, and like the disciples, we're even tossed around like a boat amongst the waves. But if we keep Christ in our lives, he will give us a peace no matter what the storm or atmosphere that we're dealing with at the time. You get into speaking to the mountain. That of faith. Move that mountain. You might be like Jesus in the wilderness. Satan, get behind me. All these things that we come up with, that we deal with on a daily basis is going to be there that we just need to be aware of and knowing how to deal with them. Don't spend a lot of energy focusing on the negative. Spend more of it thanking and worshiping the answer. And turn it over to him. And let him change that atmosphere. He may even allow you to be a part of that help of changing the atmosphere. Well, how could that be? Because when we go into like a prayer time, intercessory prayer, whatever it is that the Lord begins to lay on us and we begin to lift up in prayer, if it ripples out from just our church situation, to our city, to our state, to the nation, looking forward to the wonderful things that were going to take place throughout this nation in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 8 years, 12 years. I'm looking forward to what's going to come about. Now, in some instances, it might not be good, but I know where I'm at. I know the kingdom that I'm in. And so those are those things that we've got to be aware of. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the time that you've spent with us. That, Lord, right now, as we just quickly looked at some of the verses and your word, Lord, of how you change things, Lord. And I truly believe in my heart, Lord, that we are at a time of change in our atmosphere of where we're a part of. Lord God, I thank you for this group of pastors in our town as we begin to develop this monthly city prayer time and lifting up our nation and other things, Lord, that you will bring to our spirit, Lord. But as we gather as a corporate body throughout different denominations and churches, Lord, here again, Lord, I believe this is the time that you are drawing us as leadership of pastors to bring together even a unified part of our city, Lord God, and so that your power can be unleashed. Your power is in each and every one of these churches, Lord, that are Bible-believing and preaching the gospel and the news that you have that's not been distorted, Lord. We're preaching your truth, Lord God, and your power is in these churches. But, oh, Lord, what's going to happen, Lord, when multiple churches come together under one umbrella, and that's your umbrella, Lord. It's not our denominational umbrellas. It's the kingdom's umbrella that we all gather under. Hallelujah. And we just begin to pray in unity, Lord God. And we begin to see things happen, things develop. Oh, Lord, things that people would say, oh, that's never going to take place anymore. Oh, that's changed. Oh, the churches are so cold. The churches are against each other. Father, you're going to bring your churches together in a much greater way, Lord. And that we see your hand go forth and move. Just mighty obstacles, Lord. Any obstacle that's out there, Lord, we just place it under your direction, and Lord, that you would work it and deal with it, and that you would find us faithful in prayer, interceding, lifting up, worshiping, whatever it might be, Lord, to see you move in a greater measure. It's not to bring glory into these individual churches, Lord. It's to show your countenance upon this land. It's to bring about that change that we need so, so very much. And I thank you, Father, that we will see the spiritual atmosphere begin to move and change in our society, Lord, as we take up that challenge right now and stand in that gap and lift up these needs to you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. And what is so wonderful, Lord, it's not us, it's not by our might, not by our strength, Lord, it's by you. Hallelujah. Just coming in to those situations, we pray. We ask your touch upon Janesville, Beloit, Rock County, all the communities in this area, state line, and up through this area to Madison, to Rockford, Lord. Whatever it might be, Lord, we want to be found in it, Lord, and where you're at. Wherever you're at, Lord, we want to be there. We thank you, Father, right now. We thank you, Lord, right now. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Those that are here today that need a calming in their spirit, Lord, we thank you for that. Just give peace and calmness to them, we pray. Father, for those that aren't here because of sickness, Lord, and you know different ones, Lord, we just lift them up to you, Lord, that you would just be there with them in their homes and as they recover and with healing in their body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we prepare now to go into this time of our communion with you, Father, we find it just wanting to do what you've instructed us to do, Lord. And we want to do it again and again and again, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.